Hello, friends. Happy Monday to you all, and welcome to the 25th episode of the Subian U podcast. It's hard to believe that we're already 25 episodes in. And at the same time, it's hard to remember what Mondays were like before we all had this to look forward to. To commemorate this momentous occasion, we have a few special changes for this episode. The first is that I've been driving an Outback all week. Secondly, I'm recording right now from the pristine shores of Western Michigan. And finally, and most significantly, I'm not Roth. I'm John, or Sub Wisconsinly to all my Subi fam and all the people out in Starkow Nation. Don't worry, Roth didn't blow a head gasket or just hit 25 episodes and decide to throw in the towel, leaving me in charge. No, instead he presented me with the supreme honor of briefly sitting down in his chair to finally ask him a few questions about his build. Please bear in mind, I am not a podcast professional, but I promise I tried to do him justice. So without further ado, please sit back and join me as we delve a little deeper into the origins of the podcast, discuss the future build goals for Pearl, and get to find out a bit more about our favorite man behind the mic. Here we go. It's Raphael and Pearl the Crosstrek on this week's edition of the Subi and You podcast.
All right. Well, as you heard, he is not me. I am me. This is Raph. I want to say thank you so much, John, for that amazing introduction to this episode of the podcast and for my episode to talk about Pearl and the podcast itself. So the idea for John even doing this in the first place has to go out to, I have to give credit to Josh, aka Wraith Trek. It was his idea to have John do the intro, so thank you so much for that, Josh. I really appreciate it, and it turned out awesome. So in this episode, I'm on the other side of the mic, yet I'm still on the same side. I wanted to do an episode for me, and I wanted to do it for a while, and I was trying to put it out earlier possibly, but there were some other episodes that I wanted to get out before me because I didn't want to, you know, some of these other ones were pretty big and important to me, and I wanted to make sure they were featured before me. And I'm glad it all turned out this way because here I am now, and get to share my story. And you will hear in the podcast, and at the time that we recorded this, I still only had my crossbars on, and as many of you have seen, Pearl has changed a lot. So she has changed a lot because there were a group of people that came together and really just pulled together and helped me to make Pearl what you see now. So I just want to, you know, it's a group of people. I'm not going to name them by names. They know who they are, but you know, none of what you see on Pearl now would have been possible without their help and without them coming together and basically saying thank you. It was their way of saying thank you for doing the podcast. And it all means so much to me that that they came together and did this. And I had absolutely no idea. And just a little forewarning, the podcast or this episode ends kind of abruptly because John sent me a message that everybody had put together, a video message that people had put together. And I was listening to it when we were still recording, trying not to lose it. And so we really never had to say a proper goodbye for this episode. So it just kind of ends. And so I'll put a little outro to it. And but yeah, I want to just a huge, huge thank you to all the people that came together and really made everything possible. And I'm forever grateful, and I can't thank you enough, and it really means a lot to me. And, you know, every time I post a picture of Pearl now, I see how she looks, and I'm just so thankful. And, yeah, so I think of you all every time I post a picture and walk out and see her. So thank you. This community and, you know, buying my car has been one of the best things that's ever happened to me in my life. And, I'm so thankful to everybody out there that has supported me, that follows Pearl, that listens to the podcast, that shares it. It all really means a lot to me, and it shows what this podcast means to the community, what it means to all of you out there. So I absolutely love this community. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, or a couple of minutes ago, what you see on Pearl wouldn't be possible without their help. However, having Pearl in the first place and doing this podcast and just where I'm at now in life would not be possible without my girlfriend. She has supported me and helped me along with my journey in the last year and a half more than anybody in my entire life. And so I have to give so much credit and so much thanks to her, because like I said, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. I wouldn't even have Pearl if it hadn't been for her just supporting me and encouraging me and, telling me that I can do it and, and really helping me along the way. She means everything to me, and I couldn't imagine not having her in my life, and I couldn't have imagined caring for somebody this much and loving somebody this much. You're amazing. So thank you. Thank you so much. And I love you. Just so, so grateful for you, and grateful and thankful to have you in my life. You mean everything to me. So yeah, thank you. Okay. Now that we've gotten the mushy stuff out of the way, we can get into some news. This is a second announcement and a reminder that Soft Road Nation Arizona is hosting the Bear Canyon Lake Run on Saturday, June 26th. So it's coming up. Those who want to join this run should meet at the Safeway gas station at 401-AZ-260 Payson, Arizona at 8:30 a.m. and they will roll out at 9 o'clock. This will be a stock-friendly run, although caution is always recommended, so come prepared. Extra water and walkie-talkies are strongly recommended, and because this is a popular area, it will be more important to get a good spot early. They will be taking Road 300 for about 12 miles until they reach Bear Canyon Lake. This route offers some of the best views in the state with a rewarding lake view at the end. So bring a lunch, the kids, the dogs, and a fishing pole. You can DM Soft Road Nation Arizona with any questions. And we have another reminder that registration is now open for Subaru Flat Fest, the Midwest's largest Subaru charity event, which is August 7th at the Madison International Speedway. You can also sign up for the second annual Flat Fest Overland Adventure, which will be September 24th, 25th, and 26th. You can find more information on Facebook at Subaru Flat Fest, on Instagram at Subaru_Flat Fest, or SubaruFlatFest.com. Or you can also DM Sub Responsibly for more details. Additional announcements will be made closer to the event. And also remember that this is Flat with FL4T Fest. So check that out. This episode is brought to you by Primitive Racing. Primitive Racing is a manufacturer and retailer of high-quality parts and accessories for Subarus, boasting a complete lineup of skid plates, lift kits, a huge inventory of the unrivaled King Springs. Primitive Racing has been making innovative products and accumulating a catalog of unique and hard-to-find solutions. They also have the knowledge and experience to make recommendations to meet the needs of the ever-growing segment of Subaru off-road enthusiasts like many of you out there. Check them out at get-primitive.com. You can find the link to their website in their bio on their Instagram page and also in the podcast episode notes. Again, I have a code if you want to purchase some skid plates or a lift kit. The code if you purchase 2 or 3 skid plates is S, the and symbol, U, S-K-I-D, the number 5, and that'll get you an additional 5% off of your combo set of skid plates. And for the lift kit, the code is S, the and symbol, U, L-I-F-T, the number 5, to get 5% off of your lift kits. Thanks again, Primitive Racing, for sponsoring the podcast and for the set of skid plates that I now have completely on my car. Finally, I was able to get the front skid plate on last weekend, and now I'm ready to go. And I'm also headed out to Colorado this week, And we'll see what happens out there on the trails. I'm meeting up with Java Wagon and Shadow Rue. So I'm going to go have some fun and be on vacation and enjoy my week. Now that we've got the news out of the way, we can get into those shout outs. This week, we've got Mountain Rue Northeast, Rally Gump, Team Subi Snails Northeast, Tanner King, and Swamp Thing, the Elemental Outback. Thank you all for checking out the podcast, and thank everybody else for continuing to listen to the podcast. You guys are amazing, and girls, you all are amazing. Thank you so much for always listening, for rating, reviewing, sharing. It really means a lot to me. So also remember that you can click the link in my bio and go to my partnership page with Eccentric Designs and pick up a Subi and You decal for your car to rep the podcast and help support it. So, and then you can also check out all the decals that Eccentric Design offers. So thanks again for listening and hope everybody has a great week. But before we get into this episode, I have one more announcement. I just want to let everybody know that Eccentric Designs will not be taking orders from June 21st through July 5th while they are out on vacation. So she's going to enjoy that. I know she's really been looking forward to it. So happy vacationing to you, Jen. You will be starting your vacation as I'm getting back from mine. So anyway, have a great week, everybody. And let's go ahead and get into this episode with me, Pearl the Cross Trek, and the Subi and You podcast. So I'll let you get started with it.
Well, it's nice to be talking to everybody out there. My name is John. You guys might know me as Sub Wisconsibly, and I've got the honor of speaking to my buddy Raphael here. Raphael, you want to say hi, let everybody know who you are and what you drive.
Hello, my name is Raphael, and I drive a 2021 manual Crosstrek that I'm absolutely in love with. And I, so just so everybody knows, I'm a guest on the podcast this time. So I'd asked John to, you know, interview me. And my 2021 manual Crosstrek, and I literally thought that I was just buying a car. And now here I am doing this podcast and connecting with so many people out there. And it's been a crazy ride so far, and I'm really, really enjoying it.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm absolutely thrilled. And like I said, honored to be here chatting with you. Rumor is that you're out there on Instagram. Do you mind sharing your Instagram handle so the kids out in podcast land can give you a follow?
So it is Pearl the Crosstrek, and it's Pearl dot the dot Crosstrek. And then also there is the podcast Instagram page, which is Subi and You podcast. So it's Subi dot and dot you dot podcast.
Excellent. I'm glad. I'm sure everybody here is following, but for, you know, formality's sake, I want to make sure I'm dotting my I's and crossing my T's for you. Raph, I figured that maybe we'd start out with some softball questions to get you warmed up. I know you have a few nerves being on the other side of the mic.
Yeah, and I've played softball a few times, so hopefully I can, at least get to first base.
Well, this is going to be a low-pressure situation, I promise. I'm not coming too hard-hitting, but like I said, a couple softballs in here to get you started. What's your favorite food?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. But I really, really like oatmeal. And I eat it a lot. That, and I really like grape nuts.
So, right on.
Yeah.
So a breakfast man.
Yeah, but I usually don't eat breakfast till about somewhere between 11 and 12 because I'm trying to do some intermittent fasting. Doesn't always work out, though, because sometimes I'll get hungry in the morning earlier, and I'll go grab a bowl of grape nuts and put some other stuff in it. So right that's on. That's one of my go-tos.
Awesome. My wife's a huge oatmeal fan, so I tend to eat it more than I sort of did on my own, but I enjoy it quite a bit. I like making real oatmeal, you know, nice steel cut oats and like putting fresh fruit on it.
Oh yeah.
You know, sort of going the whole thing. She puts everything on it. I can't do that. Like, you know, a million different things. I'm a little bit more simple with it, but solid choice, solid choice.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
All right. Well, so going from favorite foods, what was your first car?
That's actually a really good question because I had a pretty interesting first car. I had a 1969 Ford Fairlane with a straight six.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a blue. It was, it's funny because like, so I had this, and it was a two-door. So I had this 69 Ford Fairlane two-door. It was a pretty big car. One of my buddies had a 77 Dodge Aspen, which looks like a grandma car. It was also blue. And then another friend had a Chevy Chevelle, which was blue. So he had the Chevelle. That was the mini blue cruiser. My buddy with the Aspen, that was the blue cruiser. And then I had the mega blue cruiser.
Awesome. It's like the, yeah, it's an amazing high school posse.
Yeah. And an interesting thing about the car. So I actually got it as a graduation present from my stepdad. And he worked at a shop and it had been sitting in like in the shop for, well, outside the shop in the grass for probably a few years, at least like 2.5 years. So we got some new tires for it, rolled it into the shop. And there was only 5 cylinders that were hooked up because one of the spark plug wires was missing. And we poured some gas down the carburetor and it started up on 5 cylinders, which was pretty amazing. But yeah, it was a fun car to drive. I think I eventually threw a rod or something like that. And I wish I would have kept it, but I sold it to this junkyard for like $65. And I've been kicking myself ever since.
Was that a car that, you know, sparked a passion or, you know, have you had a lifelong interest in cars and personalizing them and sort of being involved with them beyond them being a mode of transportation or was, you know, that really just a way to, I mean, I assume meet chicks.
Well, so that car's, I mean, it was, The cool thing about it, it was, you know, it was such an old car and the engines were so simple that it was, we ended up changing all the spark plugs, all the wires, the carburetor, the water pump, the fuel pump, and then changed out the starter, the alternator. Those were kind of over time. I think the alternator was the last thing that we changed out on it, but it was just fun to work on. And then the guy that had the Dodge Aspen, I actually ended up buying that car from him a few years later and changed when he sold it to me. He sold it to me for like $400. When he sold it to me, the fuel pump was leaking. So I went to, you know, auto parts store, got a new fuel pump, changed it out immediately because I'm like, why didn't you change it out before? Because it had been leaking for a while and it was so easy to do. Changed it out and that car ran for a while until I wrecked it. But other than those two cars, like after those cars, everything I had after that was just kind of a car. Like after that car, I ended up having a 1990 Ford Ranger that was a manual. And then after that, I had a 97 Ford Ranger that was also a manual. And I absolutely loved driving a manual. And I had always been interested in manuals since I was a kid. My grandpa had like a 70s, somewhere in the 70s, Ford Bronco that was a manual, but it had the shifter on the steering wheel. And then so that was always cool to watch him shift that. And then my uncle, I went with my uncle to buy his first Toyota Tacoma. It was like a 1985 Tacoma. It was a small truck, but it was also a manual and I would go places with him at times. And I always just like, I was always fascinated by watching him shift gears. And so I've always had a fascination with manuals, which is why I wanted a manual Crosstrek because I've just always had that fascination. And I drove a couple of manual trucks and I really wanted one again.
Well, I told you we weren't going to go like all Barbara Walters and like hard hitting questions here. I'm not trying to make you cry, but we're already into in the softball questions, my embarrassing confessional moment, which is that I really can't drive a manual. So, you know, for being as into cars that I am, you know, I blame it 100% on my parents, who owned manual cars their entire lives. And then in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, when they replaced their cars, they owned them for 10 years, both fell into like the new trend of getting, my mom got a Honda Accord, my dad got an Acura Legend, both of them automatics. And those were the cars that were, you know, in our garage when I learned how to drive. And then as soon as I was out of college, they both were like, we like manuals better, and went back to having manuals. And so I literally have never had the experience of owning one. And as someone who now, you know, I'm as like very much an established adult, like I've had plenty of people say, hey, you can, I have a very nice, you know, I have a beautiful STI. Would you like to drive my car? And I'm going, no. I mean, I understand fundamentally what I'm doing, but yeah. I don't want to be the one who's making your beautiful car go, you know, down the road. And so I'm secretly on the hunt for the $900 rust bucket beater manual that I can just drive to death and get confident on, so that when I finally have funds ready to buy myself some sort of spectacular sports car, I can get it in a proper transmission. So there's my admission moment for you, but I totally respect it. I get it. As a car guy, it kills me a little inside every time I have to admit that, but now I'm, you know, it's out there in the open. You can send the hate mail directly to you, please.
The best way to learn how to drive a manual is own one, because I mean, unless you are with somebody like every day that has one, you have the opportunity to drive it, right. But you learn very, very quickly once you own one, and it's really not that difficult.
No, I feel like it's like the literal baby bird needs to be pushed out of the nest, right? Like as soon as you need to do it around the neighborhood, you'll do it. But until then, you know. So it's on my list of things that I'd like to make happen. And, you know, maybe with the kids going back to school, I can find sort of a cheap Subaru sitting around and knock it around a little bit. But, you know, or maybe, you know, the next time you and I hang out, you can just, you know, pass me the keys.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So back to my softball questions for you. Raf, when you park your car, do you look back at Pearl?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, if I'm in a hurry or something, I may not always look back at her, but I'm definitely looking at her when I'm coming, you know, back to the car. And because then it's like she's always in my focus and I'm looking at all the decals that I have on there and just the way it looks. And it always like every time I walk out to my car, I'm like, man, she looks like she's sitting up really high. And it's like, you know, I'll see like other white Crosstreks out there that are the same, you know, same generation. And mine just always looks better, even if without all the decals, I look at mine and I'm like, mine just looks better. And you know, I'm biased, but it just, I love looking at it, you know, when I go out, but yeah, oftentimes I do look back.
Dude, I'm laughing listening to you because I have the exact same thing. Like literally every time I come out of the grocery store and I look up, I'm like, ooh, damn, that thing looks good. And like literally every time. And then I have the sort of like out of body third person experience where I'm like, I can just see myself like staring at my car,
yeah,
sort of be like, you know, kind of face palm, like it's embarrassing. But at the same time, this silly car that I spend all my time with and look at all the time, for some reason, coming out of the grocery store, it sometimes looks its absolute best.
Oh, yeah. No, I get that. I totally get that.
All right. Well, following up on real world experiences, like looking back, do you code up? Do you know what that is?
I do not. This is a new term for me.
All right.
Where have I been for the past 6 months?
Where have you been? And like, okay, so when you see another Subaru, In a parking lot, do you do whatever possible to make sure that you park next to your Subaru buddy?
I have done that before. Not all every right. single so, time, because, like, you know, I'll see them and a lot of times they're parked between two other cars, but I have parked next to other Subarus before.
Well, yeah, no, we don't want you doing anything outlandish, like bashing cars out of the way, but given the opportunity, yeah, the Subaru code is, you know, Subarus park together, Subarus park next to other Subarus. And, you know, I don't know, something I enjoy doing is, especially if I ever catch a really good one, is I, you know, I'll park next to it and then take one of my stickers and just write, like, hey, you know, sweet XV, sweet Foz, you know, put my Instagram handle on it and tuck the sticker under their windshield wiper. I've gotten some really nice messages from people who are like, whoa, got back to my car. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. There was a car when I was up in Denton, Texas, and I saw a pretty nice looking Crosstrek, and I put one of my business cards in there, because around here, it's mostly people that are daily drivers. So you see just 100% stock, you know, it's not even any decals or anything. And sometimes, you know, they just, I mean, I'm not trying to like judge anybody, but they just don't look like the type of person that's going to be, you know, getting involved in the community and like wanting to go places with their car. It's just most of the people I see out here are, you know, their Subaru is a daily driver.
Yeah, I don't want to give the wrong impression. Like 90% of the 98% of the Subarus that I see are also daily drivers. And they're all over Madison. But if I catch a particular, you know, every once in a while you do catch one that has a roof box
and covered
in national park stickers, or
yeah. I mean,
the cliche, but always the best place to do this is at REI. If you go to REI, sit in the parking lot at REI, there's always going to be another, you know, half a dozen Subarus. And it's pretty guaranteed that, like, they may not be into cars, but at least they're, like, into doing awesome stuff with their cars. And so I always feel like that's a fun place to, you know, the ambassador program frowns upon, like, leaving gear now just randomly on cars. That's sort of what I used to do back in the beginning. But
yeah,
at least now I'll leave my stickers on there. I have one more of these softball questions, and this one wasn't, you know, before we get into sort of more real topics, and this it not so much a question, but more of like a litmus test, sort of a self-reflective moment to see how bad you've gotten this bug, and it's kind of a have you ever used the following terms? Have you called your vehicle a rig?
I think I have, maybe a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't really consider it a rig yet, since there's not really much on it except for some crossbars, you know, going to the roof rails.
I'm a firm believer that rig is a state of mind.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Have you ever taken Pearl wheeling?
Wheeling,
gone wheeling.
As far as, like, what do you mean?
Like wheeling on some trails, wheeling with some homies to the riverbank.
just trails. I haven't met up with anybody to go trailing with yet.
All right.
Unfortunately.
All right. Have you ever used the term sending it?
I have. I don't know that I. Well, yeah, I've kind of sent it a little bit in some places, but. Yeah, I was actually, there's a spot over, and I've talked about it before, behind the high school that my daughter used to go to, and I took my brother back there because there was a lot of mud, and I was going through this spot, and I heard the bottom hit. It was like, I mean, you know, it's all soft mud and stuff, but I heard it hit, and I felt it, and I was like, oh,
that's not going to be bad.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I sent it.
Just got serious.
Yeah, I sent it through the mud a little too much, probably.
Well, good. And then my last one of these is, have you ever asked anybody if there will be tire rub?
Yes, I have.
All right. Well, I think you basically have passed the test. You are qualified to be on the Subi and You podcast.
All right. Good. I hope so.
So, Ralph, when did you get Pearl?
So I bought her Thursday, September 17th of 2021. No, wait. 2020, that's right.
2020.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it blows my mind how much you've done. I mean, if not physically on the car, with and through the car, you know, since you've gotten her. It's just been, it's been a crazy, what is that, 7 months we're talking about?
Basically? Yeah, somewhere around there.
That's that just blows my mind. I feel like on the podcast, a lot of the time you ask, or maybe you regularly are asking your guests, you know, before this car, did you have any awareness of the online community? Did you have an Instagram for cars or for vehicles or for hobbies before this? And I know that you didn't have a previous Instagram for your car, but that you've mentioned that you did have some awareness of kind of the community, at least maybe through YouTube videos and people. I'm curious how your knowledge going into this affected your purchase decisions and why Subaru.
So I've mentioned it before, but back in 2013, I was coming back from work or coming back from lunch at work and came around the corner coming down the stairs. And I saw this orange 2013 orange Crosstrek. And I just kind of froze. I was like, what is that? And because it was, you know, the bold orange and it had the black accents. And that was what really captured my attention was the contrast between the black accents and the orange. There was just like something about the way that it looked. Like it just looked like unlike any car I'd ever seen. And so I don't even think I looked to see that it was a Crosstrek. I just knew that it was a Subaru. And so I think I probably looked it up online, just like went to the Subaru website and then found it, you know, and like, oh, that's a Crosstrek. Cause you know, they had just come out.
Sure.
And, so fast forward, you know, it was just something that I saw and then I kind of started noticing, but there wasn't really a fascination with them beyond just seeing that one. And, but around in 2016, I test drove one that was a manual just because like I was at that point, I was like, this is going to be my next car. So
just based on aesthetics at that point, huh?
Yeah. And I think
that's
awesome. I don't remember when I started watching YouTube videos, but I don't even remember like how I got to thinking like that it could even go off road, you know, that it was capable. But I think I just may have started looking up YouTube videos to just see what it was and, you know, see people talk about it. And then maybe there I saw some, you know, the little videos off to the side that, you know, show them going off road. So then I started going down the rabbit hole of like, what can this thing do off road? And I would see people driving it. And these were stock Crosstreks. Huh. But people driving them through snow, through mud, you know, over some trails and stuff. And then I would start to see videos where people had them modded a little bit more, you know, with the lift kit and, you know, maybe a rooftop basket, but nothing really crazy. You know, like I didn't see any cut bumpers for a long time. You know, I would see like maybe some lights on the front or a light bar at the top or something like that. But that was pretty much the extent of it. It was just like a lift kit, maybe a front bumper and some lights and everything. And so I just knew that that was going to be my next car. I didn't really know much about Subaru. I didn't really know a whole lot even really about the Crosstrek. I just knew what it was capable of. I knew that I liked the way it looked and I knew that I wanted a manual. And so when the time came for me to decide to get, you know, like I needed to get another car because the one that I had before, I didn't really trust it to drive long distances and I wanted to be able to go places. So, but there wasn't really any, I didn't have like this knowledge of the community until like right before I got my car. And the first heavily modded car that I saw on YouTube was 4x4 Subi. And I was like,
okay,
whoa, that's pretty awesome. Like that's, you know, extreme. And he has a YouTube video where he goes through like all of his mods and stuff. And he talks about his cut bumpers and, you know, and everything. And so I was like, that's really cool. And then I was like, well, I wonder if he has an Instagram page. So I started following him from my other Instagram page. And then I found like maybe, I think, three other people that were on there. And so that was when I kind of started seeing that there was a little bit of a community out there, although nothing like what I know now. So, you know, I ended up buying it. And once I bought her, I started kind of getting into Instagram a little bit more and seeing more people. And I'm like, maybe I should start a page for my car. And because it's the crystal white Pearl, that's why I named her Pearl. And right. Started the page and started posting pictures and you know, using a few hashtags, not knowing like what hashtags to use. And I was thinking like, nobody knows who I am. Nobody knows my car. Who's going to like my car? You know, it has nothing on it. It's totally plain. Nobody's going to care about my, you know, plain, non-modded, no decals, totally stock Crosstrek. And I got pleasantly surprised that people started liking the post. And then, but then like I started engaging with people too, like commenting on posts and replying to comments and stuff like that. Cause I've always been engaged with my other account. So I kind of carried that over to this one. So I think not being afraid to engage with people, not being afraid to message people, and just kind of putting myself out there and going like, wow, okay, I guess people do like my car. It was probably within about 3 days of buying her, though, that I decided to do the, or I had the idea for the podcast, because I saw people on there on Instagram, and I'm like, these people obviously love their cars. They like posting pictures. They put some captions. But you can only put so much in the caption, and then not everybody reads all of the caption. And a lot of people don't even put any caption. They just post a picture of their car, and they may list their mods or something. So that was the other thing that really kind of captured my attention, was people were listing their mods. And so I'm like, people really like what they put on their car. So that was where I got the idea for the podcast. And then I started seeing people doing Wheel Wednesday and Tushy Tuesday and Front End Friday. And I was like, man, these people are weird, you know,
yeah, but they're absolute cult.
Yeah. But they're passionate about their cars. And then of course I started getting into it. When I started doing it, I'm like, there's like nothing interesting about my car. So if you look at my posts, I'll do some videos for Wheel Wednesday, or I'll do videos for Front End Friday, or, you know, something different for Tushy Tuesday. And I do that because I don't have any mods. So my car isn't like, I don't have like these epic wheels to take, you know, awesome pictures of. Although the wheels that are on the base model Crosstrek are really nice. But yeah. I'm always trying to do something a little bit different just to kind of make it interesting, since my car itself isn't super interesting, you know? So,
dude, I totally get that. I mean, I think I've mentioned in our first conversation, you know, my car was bone stock for 5 years, right? We bought it. It was my wife's daily driver. And you know, when I took over driving mine and started thinking about making additions and doing, you know, I didn't even know the term mods, but started doing mods to the car. I was on, like, I had two little kids in diapers. My wife was a medical resident. Like, you know, the last thing I was going to get, you know, a blessing to spend our family money on was like fancy wheels, right?
And yeah.
So, you know, that's why I'm such a lifelong supporter of Plastidip. I was like, at least I can personalize my car a little bit, you know, for little bits of money, and, you know, and take time. And I just keep coming back to the fact that you've owned this, you know, Pearl has been in your life for 7 months, and to think about what you've done with her and with, you know, this whole community so far is just so awesome, you know. Be patient. Don't rush yourself, you know, and don't worry, because it's still going to always look awesome when you come out of the grocery store, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's, I would like to be able to do more sooner if I could.
Yeah.
But I mean, I knew very quickly that seeing all the other cars out there that like, I want to do more with my car. And so that's why I've been doing so many decals. Cause the first decals that I actually bought were and put on there were from Orsini Vinyl Designs. I got the The World is Flat, which I have in my hatch. When you open it up, it's on the top part, but you know, it's at the bottom once you open it up, and it, you can read it. You know, it says The World is Flat. That and Save the Manuals. And then I saw Eccentric Designs, and it actually took me a while to figure out that Eccentric Designs and Ghost were the same person. Yeah. I don't remember. I remember seeing, like, I think one of the somebody had in the reflector part at the bottom of the bumper, somebody had the outline of a state. And I was like, I wonder if she could do Texas. And so I think that was the first decal that I got from her. And she was like, yeah. So she did the Texas decals. And then I would see people with like the, like a mountain range above where it says Subaru on the left side of the hatch. Yep. And I'm like, there's no mountains in Houston, but we have a pretty cool skyline. So I was like, hey, can you do the Houston skyline? So she did that. And then it just went from there. And
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. So it's been fun being able to do that at least and personalize it in that sense. And then I got the crossbars, which I haven't used them for anything except to put my Christmas lights on, and which was nice because it kept them from flopping around on the top when I had to stretch them across, because that didn't work out too well the first time.
You know, crossbars is a good one though, because that's like, it's like the not fun part of the project, you know? It's like anything you're going to put up there, a basket, lights, a tent, kayaks, whatever, you need to get the crossbars first. And so you save up the money and you have that whole thing planned out and you're like, ooh, and now I have, you know, another couple $100 worth of cross. So I totally applaud that. Get that out of the way so you can just bolt on awesomeness now.
Yeah, because I mean, I wanted to get the crossbars because I knew that I would eventually get something to put on the roof, and knowing that they're already there, because I would like to get a rooftop basket because it'd be nice to have an awning and then maybe put some other stuff up there, like some kind of a luggage carrier or something. But
I just have the stock bars, that came on our Outback, but it's so easy to go from basket and awning to ski racks in the winter to nothing if I'm going on a long road trip and just want, you know, best gas mileage. And so I really like having that kind of modular option, you know, always up there, which is pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
You mentioned before that you didn't trust your previous vehicle on long trips and on ventures. I think it's probably needless to say you didn't ever think about taking it off road or anything. What activities does Pearl enable you to do? What does she allow you to do, and how does she fit in your lifestyle? How has that evolved? How do you see that evolving?
So it's funny that you said that I wouldn't imagine taking my other car off road, but I have a lot of family from East Texas, which is kind of like northeast of Houston, and that's where we have our family reunions. And so there's a lot of like county roads up there, and then just other roads that kind of just, you know, spur off from some of the county roads. And I remember going up this road one time, and it was kind of cresting, and then there were some like ruts in it, not big ruts, but you know, it was like, it's just very uneven. It was a dirt road. And I remember thinking, if I had a Crosstrek, I could make it up this road. Like that's what I was thinking. Like, so that was whenever I had it in my head that, okay, I'm going to get a Crosstrek. Like that was one of the reasons I wanted to get it, is when we go up to our family reunions, there are all of these roads that I've wanted to explore, but I couldn't. And so that was kind of one of the main reasons I got it. Then I was thinking beyond that, like, okay, well, if I can do that, then maybe there are other places that I can go explore. And then, so as far as like my lifestyle, I've always been kind of fascinated with going off-road. Because I remember like being a kid, my grandparents had, I think they had like an acre and a half of land, which is a pretty decent plot. And my grandpa had a riding lawnmower. And I remember I always liked riding it through the grass. And like they had these little ditches that went that were at the front of their house, like between their yard and the road. And I remember I always enjoyed going through the ditch. And it was like, because it was like going off road, you know, you're not on flat ground, you're not on any kind of pavement. And so there's always, and then my grandpa used to have a Jeep a long time ago. And I remember at one of our family reunions, we were at my aunt's house that lives up there. And he took us out through some mud in the Jeep, and the Jeep, you know, just went through it very easily. And even when he had the Bronco, I remember going through some places where he used to go. There were some rice canals across from their house, and he used to do catfishing out there. So I remember going through like some muddy spots with that too. And so I've just, along with, you know, having a fascination for manuals, I kind of had a fascination with going off-road. I just never had the ability to do so. What I really wanted to get is I love FJ Cruisers. Like, yes. I absolutely love them.
Yes.
But they're pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they don't get good gas mileage. So also really liking the Crosstrek, I was like, you know what? This car is affordable. It gets good gas mileage. It's a hatchback, which I like because I don't like trunks because it's harder to get stuff in there. And I like being able to have that space just opened up. And so, and it can go off road. So it was like, this is a really good alternative for me to have something that achieves what I want to do. And so, you know, that combined with wanting to go up to, you know, explore roads when we up in East Texas, and then thinking beyond that, like, you know, there's other places that I would like to go further than just, you know, some areas around Houston. I know there are some, there's like Hidden Falls out in the Austin area. There's James River Road, which is even further out there. I did hit the Texas Overland Route when we went camping a couple of weekends ago. So I drove part of that. That's where I had my first water crossing, which was super cool.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's just now it's kind of like now I can, you know, I can express and enjoy that explorer side of me that, you know, has always kind of wanted to go see other places that are not on pavement.
I mean, that really speaks to me too, just as, you know, being someone who loves the outdoors and wants to do these things, but not being someone who, you know, either has such regular access that I need a dedicated rock crawling overland vehicle, you know, that like Subaru's ability across their models to basically be a jack of all trades sort of Swiss Army knife of a vehicle, you know, like,
yeah,
I think, you know, where, you know, like you, mine is my daily driver, right? Like I have to rely on this vehicle. If I'm, you know, playing on the weekend and I destroy it, like I'm in trouble during the week. Like that's,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So, you know, I love the idea of, you know, woo, full send doing this, but like, I have to be realistic with these things as well. And you know, the other sort of heavy hitting reality is that as much as I love the off-road sort of overland lifestyle, 90% of my driving is on the road. And that includes like serious long highway road trips, right? So like the last thing I want to do is do some sort of mod for the gram that looks amazing, gets me 1,000 followers, but that like makes every time we drive to Chicago to visit my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, like a miserable 2.5 hour highway drive, you know, like,
yeah.
I have to be respectful of that. And so one of my favorite things is like literally how capable, you know, a good set of tires, a skid plate, and like all of a sudden you can really do a lot. You can't do everything. You know, there's a lot out there that you need to have a lift and you need to have, you know, much more high-tech gear out there. I don't want to in any way say that, you know, that's not necessary. But the opportunity that the vehicle affords you, you know, stock off the lot or just with some really minor modifications is pretty incredible. And so, you know, that really speaks to me as well.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, because it's, I mean, with mine being stock, it's been, the things that I have done have been fun and I've enjoyed. And, you know, I don't have this desire to go do any kind of rock crawling or anything, but I do, you know, I do want to go there are like I said, there's Hidden Falls out in near Austin, but I saw some things on Facebook where they were thinking about having a requirement for certain trails out there because they're getting pretty rutted out. And so, you know, they're not going to let people go on certain trails if you don't have the proper, you know, if you don't have there's certain trails where it's like, you cannot go out there if you don't have a lift. You just, you know, 'cause they don't want people to break their cars and they want people to enjoy it. So, but it's getting kind of rough out there. But I mean, it's things like that. Like, I would love to have a lift to be able to go explore more and, you know, be able to do more and see more, 'cause I don't want to always just be limited. So, you know, there is that side of me that I want to go be able to do as much as I can without breaking it.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as we get, you know, if we get a second car and it becomes like the road trip, you know, I'm not going to say street cruiser, like it's going to be lowered and bagged, but like, you know, the road warrior, then I feel like I would have that freedom to really take the Stark out to the next level. But until then, you know, I gotta be careful. I have the boss to answer to. So
yeah, for sure.
You know, like, are there things that you've in your 7 months of ownership with that you've found that you dislike about the CrossTrek platform, about Subaru, about Pearl in general? Are there any options or features that you wish you had, or sort of wish you had, you know, skipped? I know it's a base model, so you sort of skipped out on most of the funny, weird little things. But, you know, what are your thoughts on issues, problems, gripes, or has it just been absolute love?
It's been pretty much absolute love. The only thing that I did miss in the very beginning is my previous car had automatic headlights, so I had to get used to turning my headlights off and on. I mean, I know that if they're in the on position, that they will turn off, but, you know, I don't want them on during the day when I'm driving. So that was really the only thing. I mean, there's nothing else that I've, you know, seen about the car or thought about the car where it's like, I wish that it didn't, you know, that this wasn't going on, or I wish it had this. I mean, my son, when it was colder, my son would always be like, I wish you had heated seats. So, but, you know, it's not that big a deal to me. But, I mean, everything else has just been like, I mean, I absolutely love it.
That's awesome. I mean, the heated seats thing makes me laugh thinking about Houston. You know, I know you guys get, I saw the snow pics. I know it happens.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I got my car when my family lived in San Francisco, and I was like, I swear the dealer is just trying to rake us over the coals, throwing in things like heated seats. I don't need heated seats. I don't need heated wipers. I don't need the automatic start. And man, I am so glad all of that stuff is on the car now, being in Wisconsin. There are some winter mornings where a couple heated seats and having that car, you know, turn on from inside where it's warm has really saved my butt, literally and figuratively. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's not really needed here. I mean, we do get a few cold mornings, but other than that, it's not anything that's going to kill you.
I know you're passionate about having a manual. How does the manual in the CrossTrek, you know, this isn't something I can speak to, but how does it compare to previous manuals you've had? Do you enjoy driving it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really remember what the other ones were like. The only thing that I was really worried about was a stiff clutch, and it's not really. It's pretty easy. I mean, probably the first 2 weeks that I drove it, my left leg was getting a little sore just because, I mean, it's not like, you know, you're stepping on nothing. It is a little stiff, but it's not like I've driven a car before. I drove this one car one time. It was like an old Toyota Corolla wagon a long time ago. And that clutch was like, it was almost like you were lifting weights. I mean, it was so bad. It was horrible. But no, driving this is like, it's so easy and I love it. I mean, I just love shifting. And even in traffic, you know, the only time I don't really enjoy it is if I hit some traffic.
Sure.
but I don't hit traffic that often. And so it's not that big of a deal to me. You know, it's not like I don't sit there and drive in traffic with some, you know, with the manual thinking, oh my gosh, I wish I wouldn't have gotten a manual. I mean, it just, that doesn't exist. Yeah. So, I mean, it just, it's more annoying than anything. But yeah, there's never any like desire to, that I wish I hadn't gotten one. Cause I mean, I love shifting and it's just, I love having that control and, being able to, I just enjoy it. It's just fun to drive. I've always enjoyed driving a manual because I remember I tried driving once before I ever owned one. Like, you know, if I had a friend that had one or something, I was like, hey, let me try to drive it. And I wasn't ever successful, but I was always trying because I wanted to learn how to drive one. And then, like I said, owning one is the best way to learn how to drive because that first, that 1990 Ford Ranger that I bought from a friend, I had to learn how to drive it quickly. So yeah. It's like, this is mine now, so I better get to it. And, and I did.
I get that, man. I think that's awesome. And has the manual been, you know, good, responsive, on dirt as well as, you know, on the tarmac or?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I'll go out behind, the school my daughter went to when it's pretty muddy and I'll be driving through there and I always like get nervous and kind of hesitant. And then it's like, she just drives through it so easily with like no issues at all. Like there's never really been any times where I felt like it was going to get stuck.
When we bought our Outback, you know, that would have been the opportunity. My wife loves driving a manual. She would love to have one and that would have been our opportunity to get one. But we were, of course, living in San Francisco, which to me felt like the most high stakes. You know, I was driving the car all day, every day for work in the city and just thinking, oh, my God, like I can't be the guy learning to drive a station wagon in what's already the most difficult city to park in and is full of hills.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would not be easy. Well, I think that's, you know, I think it sounds awesome. And it's definitely, like I said, that's a bucket list thing for me there. So can I ask you a total noob question? I have no idea the answer of this. I was just thinking about it, though.
Yeah.
Does the manual still have traction control? Are those things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it does have an option to turn it off. So
that was going to be my follow-up is that when you've taken the car off road, are you remembering to shut traction control off to get, you know, a little bit more swing in your rear?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. When we got the snow, I did it with the traction control off and then I turned it back on to see, like, I wasn't able to do it long enough to really tell the difference. Because there was like a cop over there and he was facing the other way and he was slowly reversing and coming towards me and the other two cars that were playing around in the snow. And, so we had to get out of there, but I'm so glad that I had that opportunity to go put it sideways on some snow, you know, or icy snow. That was, that was a lot of fun. And, I really miss that.
Also a safety thing. Like to know, to be able to do that in a controlled environment, I think is so important just for, you know, because you never know where you're going to be, where that could hit. And like now you sort of know what it feels like when it loses grip and how it'll get it back. And
yeah,
I feel like that's really important.
Yep, for sure.
Raf, I know you often have your guests list their mods. I don't want to make you go through a bunch of decals and things like that, but do you have some mods right now? Or do you have some dream mods? Like I want to just touch on that.
Yeah. So I have the crossbars
right.
And then I do have the leveling kit that Body Armor gave me. That was actually from Soft Road Nation. Thank you guys. And Body Armor. Thank you very much. And I don't want to put it on yet because I don't have wheels and tires, which I want to get next.
Sure.
But yeah, so wheels and tires, so I can put the leveling kit on so it doesn't look funny. And then plus the look of wheels and tires is just, you know, that's great too.
It's probably the single biggest aesthetic, you know, hitting change you can make, I would say.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then I definitely want to get skid plates, at least the front skid plate, because when I was talking to Shadow Rue when he was still in Texas, and he was talking about the trails out in Hidden Falls out in Austin, he said at minimum I would get skid plates. And so I've never been out there yet, so it's not really an issue right now, but I would like to make it out there at some point. So you know, that'll come in time. But, you know, since I don't have crazy places to go off-roading all the time, right, and I'm on the road like 90% of the time on pavement, it's not really that much of an issue right now.
Although full sends behind your daughter's school, we've already discussed, have, you know, really could benefit from a little undercarriage protection.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to have it too, just so that I don't feel limited. Like, well, okay, well, I can't really go there because I don't have skid plates, you know.
Right. Totally.
So, but I so there's that, and then as far as like other mods, I'm trying to think of like what else that I would want to have. I mean, I would like to get a new rooftop, like the Spider no drill roof rack.
Yes.
Looks really, really good. And if it counts as a mod, my ultimate dream to have for Pearl is a rooftop tent.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think it's cool to also to have like the rear swing out gate tire carrier.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen those. I've seen the ones that just swing down a little bit so that you can open it, but I also like the ones that swing out because I've seen people have like little tables on them. Oh, and then an awning. An awning would be super cool. Because I haven't done much camping lately. My son was in Cub Scouts and we used to go a lot. Mm-hmm. And then we had our family camping trip Easter weekend, which we do every year. But now that I have my Gazelle tent and some other camping gear, I would love to go camping more often with him.
Awesome.
So having an awning would be cool to just kind of sit out there and under the shade, and especially in the Texas heat.
Yeah, I got to say, I debated the awning for a long time, and I asked a lot of people, you know, you got the awning, do you use it? And people who were like out west in deserty areas, everyone said they used it. And people who were more around me, a bunch of people in the Northeast were like, eh, we kind of use it. Like I use it at car shows. And I was sort of like, you know, that's kind of what I feel like, because I mean, almost all of my camping experience, other than when I lived in California, but almost all of it since then has been in forests where you don't always really need extra shade. And then I got it, and I swear, since I got it, I've used it in snow. I've used it in two different, like, rain, hail, storm camping situations. It has been so awesome. I really was very surprised. I ended up getting a used one from somebody who had it locally, you know, on, like, Facebook Marketplace. And what a good addition that was. I didn't even sort of, you know, give that enough credit right away, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think even here, like if I were to go to my brother's house and go over there, because they live in a cul-de-sac. So even if we went over there and just wanted to sit outside and watch his daughter, like ride her, you know, little tricycle around or whatever, if we wanted to just sit there and just chill out during the summer, I mean, it'd be like, hey, let's go sit under the awning. You know?
Oh, dude, if you don't think I'm going to set that up at every single one of my daughter's soccer games this spring, you are nuts. Like, brace yourself for subwisconsibly the number of shots you're going to get from the sidelines of, you know, terrible kids soccer coming soon. So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, that all sounds awesome. I mean, obviously, you know, the sky is the limit on some of this stuff, and you could just keep going and going. But I like that you have a vision, and, you know, that you're getting out there. You know, I saw you using the Gazelle. I've seen a lot of people using these Gazelle tents. I actually picked one up last weekend just because, gosh, it seems easy. It seems I love tent camping myself. So, you know, and I always have dogs with me. And so like the idea of being on the roof, I haven't quite figured out yet. Like maybe when it's my wife and I, camping, that would be good. But, you know, right now we've got kids and dogs. And so the Gazelle looked awesome to me. I'm really excited to check it out.
Yeah. And I found out after I got it, I don't remember, I was watching a YouTube video or something, but you can remove the flooring so that you can like wash it off or clean it or whatever. And that's super cool. That's a unique feature. And I really like that. And it's just, it's so easy to set up and I really like it.
Well, and I don't know, do you fit yours inside, do you put it inside the Crosstrek with you? Is that how you did that?
Yeah, so it'll fit straight in with the very end of it going in between the front seats, but not enough to like, you know, get in the way of our arm resting on the armrest. So it was like a perfect fit.
So I'm going to do my best to get it set up on the roof where I have that roof basket, you know, on mine. And I just was through another friend of mine locally here. He had the extension for my roof basket. And so I haven't even put this on yet, but I'm hoping that putting the extension on the roof basket will make it so the basket itself on the roof is long enough to hold the tent lengthwise.
Yeah, it is a pretty long tent.
Oh, yeah. It's serious, but I'm excited about it. So,
yeah, it's good.
Raf, if it's okay with you, I'd love to just do a little bit of a pivot. You know, these have mostly been questions about you and about Pearl. I have, you know, gathered just some questions about the podcast. Would that be all right?
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about how it was like an intense first 3 days of ownership with Pearl. You fell madly in love. You guys slid into each other's DMs. You were all up in Instagram and sort of, you know, starting to tumble down that rabbit hole. You know, what are the most significant things that you've learned from these conversations now? I think we're about 15 episodes in, 16 episodes in, right? Like, you know, I'm sure you've recorded more than that. So let's say, you know, you've talked to, you know, however many Subaru owners, you know, what are you learning?
One of the biggest things that I've learned is when I ask people why they chose a Subaru, I think pretty much everybody has mentioned safety. Yep. And, you know, there's, Sir Charles Subi was 15, Nicole, she said that, you know, she was in her accident and she said that she felt safe, even though it was, you know, it was decent enough accident, she felt safe. And then, so we're recording this before, I don't know when I'm going to put this one out exactly.
Do we have a spoiler alert here?
No, it's just, so this is going to come out after episode that's coming out, episode 16 basically. So the guest talks about being in an accident and then also witnessing an accident with a Subaru. And so just hearing that was like, it makes me glad to know that I bought a car that is safe and that is reliable and everything. So but what I'm learning too is like, everybody has different reasons for buying their Subaru, and most people didn't know that the community existed, as I didn't. And most people didn't really have any intention of modding their car. I mean, I've had a few people say, no, absolutely, I was going to buy this car and not do anything to it. And then, you know, they've got their car heavily modded now.
Right.
Yeah, so it's things like that, and then just how much people enjoy being a part of the community and connecting with other people, and on top of being super passionate about their car and wanting to do, you know, everything they can with it and being able to go places with it and take it off road.
Has there been anything that's really surprised you to hear that, you know, sort of has shocked you as either a common thread or singular, you know, experiences people have had?
I'm trying to think. There's not really anything that stands out, I guess. The stuff that's coming up in episode 16.
Okay. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned, but you'll be hearing this after episode 16.
Exactly.
So it'll be a little weird, but cool. I can't really think of anything that like stands out. It's just, okay. I guess maybe some of the capabilities of the car, you know, or, you know, or of a Subaru.
Awesome. Yeah. I liked, you know, just to go back to the safety thing for a minute, I really liked hearing, I was making notes earlier when you were speaking, when you were talking about why you got your car. And that's why I went back to like the fact that it was purely aesthetic to me is like such a fun, pure reason. Like, and I don't want to say this with any negative connotation, but like it, an immature sort of childlike way to pick out the car, which I loved and commend.
Oh, it was right? Totally. Cause I never looked into the safety. Like I never,
I love that.
I never explored like, hey, you know what? Is there something? Cause like, is there like, are these cars safe or anything? You know, I never looked into the safety aspect of it. I looked into the fact that I love the way that it looks. I want a manual and they offer it in a manual. And it can go off road and take me places I've never been before. Those were the main reasons I chose to buy. I mean, it wasn't even necessarily like why I bought a Subaru. It was just like a Crosstrek. It could have been a Honda Crosstrek. It just happened to be a Subaru Crosstrek, you know. But it's and then getting into the culture of it all and then connecting with everybody has been like that's probably been, you know, equally as enjoyable as the car itself.
Yeah. I mean, being someone who is, you know, married to a physician who's all about safety, who had been in an accident right before we got this car, you know, like I was so in the, I mean, I absolutely love my car, but we got it not because it was fun. We got it because it was safe. You know what I mean? And so it warms my soul to hear that you got into this purely because you were like, I want that.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So that at least, if nothing else, that's been a surprise to me that I'm enjoying hearing from this. You know, I know that you've taken a couple of moments at the beginning of some of the previous podcast episodes where you've read out, you know, some of the comments you've gotten. I know you've gotten a lot more comments than you've acknowledged on air, but what has been, and I don't know if this is, you know, that's the most rewarding part, in your estimation, what is the most rewarding part of doing this podcast? What are you, Raphael, getting out of this?
Well, I think, you know, just, I mean, for me, it's something that I'm passionate about. And, you know, when I first started it out, I was thinking of the community. And so because I saw that these people really love their cars and the idea came to my head, like, would these people enjoy talking about their cars as an extension of what they're doing on Instagram? Like, would they want to talk about their cars? Like, they obviously love it. They love posting about their cars and, you know, throwing up some captions. And so my hope was that a few people might actually like it and think it was a good idea. What I've been getting out of it lately is knowing that I am making, it seems like I'm making people's Mondays better because so many people have commented and said,
definitely,
you know, thank you for doing this. Mondays are not as boring now. I look forward to Monday. And just like the joy that I get from all of the comments. I mean, I've had a couple of people, I think it was Shadow and Shadow Rue and Adventure Dad Wagon. Both of them told me they'd never listened to a podcast before until this one. And so like that makes me awesome. Really happy to know that, like, because I used to be 100% music guy. Like I could not stand when I got into somebody's car and they were listening to talk radio or something. I'm just like, what's wrong with you? You know, and then my brother turned me on to podcasts and I became a podcast junkie. And then now I'm the host of a podcast. So, there's another podcast that I listen to and he is always getting feedback from his listeners. And he's like, you know, he gets satisfaction from knowing that he's enhancing people's lives by what he's doing. That's what I'm finding out because I'm getting messages from people that say, like, one guy posted in his stories, hey, thanks for helping me get through a 12-hour workday. You know, somebody else said that they had, you know, I said it on the last one, the guy that had broken his foot, and he said that it's making his days happier. It's helping him get through the days. You know, I've had people just, you know, a lot of messages like that, like just thank you for doing this because it's helping me, you know, get through whatever. And, you know, I've had people say, this is what the community has always needed, you know, and I've had other people say that, you know, oh, I was just searching for a, Subaru podcast and yours popped up. So I started listening, you know, like, it's awesome. Thanks for doing it. And so, you know, I just like, and it seems like people are kind of like making it like this really big deal, like this, the, you know, it's amazing. And we love you, you know, we love that you're doing this and everything. But I'm kind of looking at it from the side of the person that's doing it. And I'm not saying that I don't think it's amazing or that it's great or anything, but you know, like, if I have like, you know, little audio issues or something, it's like, I'm kind of nitpicky about things, you know, for like the technical side of it. But as far as like just the person that's recording it, I enjoy doing it. It's just, it's fun for me. And I'm glad that, you know, going into it with zero expectations and hoping right. that maybe a couple of people would like it, getting to what it's at now is just like, just totally blows me away that like people really enjoy it that much. It's kind of like, you know, when you meet somebody and they like tell you that they really like you or they really love you and you've, you know, you're like, really? You really like me that much? It's like,
me?
Yeah, it's like me, exactly like me, you know? And, yeah,
totally.
So it's just been, it's just, all the feedback is what really, really makes it so worth it to me. And giving people the opportunity to share their story and talk about their cars, because I know everybody loves doing it. And this is like a whole new platform for people to share their love of their car in the community. And it's not just giving the people that are on the podcast to share, but it's like giving the whole community something to listen to and hear their friends, you know, because I know there's like people that you follow and maybe you just comment on each other's, you know, posts, but maybe you don't DM or maybe you do DM, but now it's like, oh, I get to hear their voice. I didn't know that about them. And then some of the people are opening up a little bit more, you know, like about telling more about themselves. You know, it's not a podcast that's just about your car. You know, it's not technical, like talking about, you know, like engine, you know, like oil pressure and tire pressure. Well, tire pressure does come up, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, we're not talking about gear ratios and, you know, like, cause I'm not a technical person, so I can't really like speak anyway. So I'm probably going to sound dumb trying to speak technical about cars, but, you know, it's just, so for me, I get the satisfaction of Mondays too, especially after I release an episode and all of the people sharing in their stories, because I kind of feel like even though it happens every Monday and I kind of like, it's not that I expect it. I just kind of know that that's the way it's going to go. But sure. Every Monday I still get surprised by like all the people sharing. It's never like, oh yeah, people are sharing again. That's cool. You know, and I don't ever want to leave anybody out. Like, so when people are sharing, I always want to be able to like share it back, you know, in my stories and say thank you. And so sometimes it gets hard because I'm supposed to be working, you know, but it's like, I'm so passionate about this and that I always want to give as much attention to it as I can.
Yeah. It's almost like being the editor of the school newspaper, you know, like you're releasing the weekly thing. Everybody in the school is waiting for it. It's a small enough community that everyone, you know, knows that you had a hand in every single article and every single thing going on there. And you get all the praise. You know, I just feel like it's such a nice regular thing you're doing. And people hate Mondays, so why not, you know, give them a little bit of something.
And I wasn't originally planning to release it on Mondays. I was originally planning to release it on Thursdays because my previous podcast, I released it on Thursdays, and I was going to do the podcast. I was going to do every other one every other Thursday, or each one every other Thursday, And then what happened is I ended up wanting to release this at the beginning of 2021, but the first was on a Friday. I'm like, it's New Year's Day. Nobody's going to listen to it. You know, it's on a Friday. People are like just probably wanting to get out and hang out for New Year's. So then I was like, well, let me just release it on Monday because I want to release it as soon as possible in the year as I can, as soon as January is. And after that first Monday, I was just like, what is going on? I mean, so many people were sharing it and everything. And, you know, and I was like I was a total newbie coming into this community, didn't know anybody. Nobody really knew who I was. And I had the idea to do a podcast. I'm like, nobody's going to want to listen to this, you know? I mean, nobody knows who I am. And so, but what I didn't realize is people know the people that are on the podcast as guests.
There you go. Well, and the other thing that you hit on so early on, which has been, at least for me, like a fundamental tenet of all of this, is be responsive, right? Communicate. If somebody sends you a like, check out their stuff. There's a good chance that you probably like some of their photos. If somebody writes a comment that says, hey, great photo, don't just like hit the heart, right? Write back, thanks so much. I really appreciate that. And just those little, you know, I think those little indications that you're a real person and not a robot are enough that often that breaks the ice and that then people start talking. And, you know, I don't think it takes long for, you know, this podcast that nobody knew about to like become a thing that, as funny as it probably feels like for you, that like when people are talking to you, they're talking to a celebrity, right? Because if they've listened to you for 16 straight weeks, right? Like, I'm sorry, but like that's more regular than I've listened to a lot of, you know, a lot of other podcasts. It's more regular than I watch any TV shows now, you know, in my life. And so, you know, in that funny way where you're in our ear every week, you know, you've got a great voice for this. You've got a great, like, mellow style. No, of course. I mean, I've never done any podcasting at all, and I'm already, you know, back for round two. That's how enjoyable it is to talk to you. You know, and so I think that, you know, the more interaction like that, that you're just reminding people that it's how accessible everybody is now. We live in this world where you can literally like pick up your phone, shoot a message to anybody, right? And it doesn't cost you money. It doesn't, you know, the worst thing that happens is you don't write back. But as soon as you write back, the person on the other end is just, you know, becomes elated. You've been recognized and you're in. And I feel like that's how people get sucked into this community.
Yeah. And to get a little personal, like a big reason that the community means so much to me, and then especially like the fact that people were listening to the podcast, is I went to a bunch of different schools because my mom and my dad got divorced when I was 12. And so I went to 3 different elementary schools, 2 different junior highs, and 3 different high schools. So always being the new guy at, you know, at a school, having no confidence, having no self-esteem, and just, you know, being very shy. It was hard, you know, especially being at a new school. But I was also never in any sports. I was never in any kind of clubs. You know, I didn't go to a university and, you know, like have the full college experience, because I just have an associate's degree in drafting, which is, you know, that was what I enjoyed doing in high school. So that's what I can continue to do. So for me, I've like never had that community feeling, you know, like you play sports and it's like everybody like goes out and does stuff together. And there's like a community aspect of playing sports with all these people for a long period of time. You know, you go to school and you get, you know, just meet up with a lot of people, because I know so many people that are like, oh yeah, that's my buddy that I've known since, you know, college. And I don't have that, you know. And, you know, there weren't any other kind of organizations that I was ever a part of. So being part of the community and engaging with people is like, it's kind of like I'm getting that sense of now I'm a part of something for the first time in my life. And so and to be accepted into that, because it's not, you know, when you're in school and you're trying to like hang out with the cool kids and they're looking at you like, get out of here, you know, you don't belong here kind of thing. You know, 'cause I dealt with a lot of rejection early on in my life. So to be able to come into a community where everybody has the same purpose, you know, everybody's like here because they love their car. They're here because they enjoy spending time with each other. You know, we're all here for common goals and reasons. We want to do a lot of the same things. And then for people to really enjoy listening to the podcast, like it's a huge, huge deal to me. And so, you know, that's, so for me, when I engage with people, it's just because I enjoy doing that. Like I enjoy the engagement with people because I feel like I'm a part of something.
Well, you are. I mean, I think that I hope you feel validated, because it's just been, you know, it's been so fun to follow the progress of this, the growth, and you know, obviously you saw that the community existed and wanted to provide, you know, a service, an outlet for the community. But I think what in reality is happening is that you're creating a community around the podcast, you know, within a sub community within the, you know, Subarus or off-road Subaruing. Like there are people now who, you know each other or know of each other because of this podcast. You know, it's the funny thing I find with, you know, these groups is a lot of the times, you know, a lot of the times the people that you meet aren't the people who are like, I'm so social and outgoing, I go out and do a million things. Like a lot of people really do, I think, appreciate that community aspect. And so you slip into these conversations with people that start about things like fog lights, and pretty soon you're talking like real life issues and family things. And like,
yeah,
you know, I've been in a couple message boards that you just have to mute because like you realize that once people have connected over something as sort of silly and trivial as their car, they automatically like the floodgates go down and all of a sudden now I'm just want to talk to you all day, every day, you know?
Well, yeah. And I know that some of the people that I've had on too have said that, you know, owning their car and having their car and finding the community has really helped them to kind of, you know, get out of their shell. And, you know, they were like
totally
shy and, you know, kind of didn't really have much confidence and were kind of introverted and everything. And so I've kind of like, I've always been kind of like a wannabe extrovert, but I'm really more introverted. And, sure, you know, and the funny thing too is, I don't know if I think I may have mentioned this on the podcast at some point, but I know I've talked to people about it offline, is that my entire life, I've hated the sound of my recorded voice. Like me and my cousins would play, like we would had this little, you know, those little tape recorders, sure, and we would like just record ourselves talking or whatever. And then we would play it back. And I'm like, who is that? Like, I do not sound like that. He sounds stupid. The voice that's coming out of there, just, I sound like an idiot. And so, you know, because like whenever I'm talking, when I hear my own voice coming into my ears while I'm talking, like that's, to me, that's what I sound like. And then when it gets played back, yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, who is that? So you're listening to a guy who everybody is like, oh, you have the perfect voice for this. Your voice is so soothing and, you know, it's calming and everything, which like I really, really appreciate that because, but it's hard for me to hear that because I'm the one that has to listen to my voice all the time. And so, you know, you're listening to a guy who's always hated the sound of his recorded voice. So, you know what? Why don't I just start a podcast where I have to listen to it all the time? That sounds like a great idea. You know,
well, you're facing your fears, right? Or like facing your demons.
Yeah. And I think, yeah. And that's, I mean, that's not really why I did it either. You know, I didn't want to do a podcast because I'm like, you know what? I hate my voice. I really want to get over the fact that I don't like the sound of it. But I mean, now that I've been doing it and I have to listen back to it, I'm like, okay, now I can kind of see where people are coming from when they compliment the voice. But, you know, I'm not there yet, but I'm so thankful for all the compliments that everybody has paid to me and to the podcast and what I'm doing.
Nice. I mean, I think you have a great voice. Like I said, I also think that that there's something about your cadence and demeanor. You know what I mean? There's just it. You know, you've alluded to that you had other podcasts in the past, and I think that is very clear. Or comes across very clearly. You know, even I think in one of our first interactions, I feel like one of the things that I said was like how professional it sounded. It does not sound like do it yourself, you know, guy recording in a makeshift cardboard box in a hotel room, which, yeah. Hypothetically.
Yeah.
It really does sound great. And so, you know, part of that is you, and part of that is your experience doing it and setting it up. So,
yeah. Cause I mean, I did do, before I had my first podcast, I did a lot of research on microphones, on, you know, what apps to use to record in, you know, and then, so it's just like, and sound quality was always important to me. And yeah. It's like, I could have just done it on my phone and done it that way. But it's like, I felt like I wanted to do it. If I was going to do it, I wanted to do it right. It's kind of like with your, you know, with your car, it's like, well, I'm not just going to just kind of partially do it. Like I want to do what I really want to do, and I'll do it the right way. And so it's, but yeah, it's, I already had the equipment too, because from doing the other podcast. So like when I had the idea, I'm like, I already know how to do a podcast. All I have to do is just pull together some cover artwork for the podcast, find some guests, see if anybody actually wants to be on this thing. And then, you know, kind of come up with a concept for it of, you know, what it's going to be, and then just do it. And it, you know, and it was during COVID, so it was perfect. I was at home already. And, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, hey, if there's something you've been thinking about doing, now's the time to do it. So that was, you know, it was perfect storm for it.
That's awesome. Other than having to listen to your own voice on a weekly basis or biweekly basis for hours on end while you're editing these things, is there anything that you dislike about doing the podcast, or anything that, you know, looking back, you wish you had done differently, or you want to be changing in the future?
The only thing that I wish that was different is that I had more time, because the editing is kind of a pain sometimes. And it's not that like, but a lot of times I don't look forward to editing, just because it's kind of a time suck, because I have to listen through the whole thing all over again. But then what happens is, usually when, by the time I get to edit the episode for the next week, is I'm listening through and I'm like, oh man, that was like a really good conversation, and they had some really good information to share. And so then I end up, enjoying it anyway. But no, I wish I had more time. Like I wish I could just do this every day, all day, you know, like I wish this could be my job. Like that's the only thing that I don't like about it, is that I wish I had more time, because it's hard at times, you know, when I have my son every other week. So I try not to do recordings when he's with me. I try to do them the weeks that he's not with me, which is this week. And then, and then I've got the full-time job, and then, you know, I have other things that I want to try to get out and enjoy my car. And so, you know, it's really a matter of time and not having enough time, because I would love, because I want to do so much more with the podcast, which is why I started the news segment, because I feel like I have a really good platform to do a lot of good for the community. And I want to, I mean, if I'm ever able to do this full time at some point, like, I would just be all about doing everything I can to do more for the community, because this podcast is, as much as I enjoy doing it for me, it's like, I want to be able to just give as much as I can, because like, I'm just so thankful for everybody listening in the first place, because people could just listen and not ever say anything, you know, but I'm thankful for people that listen, for people when they share it in their stories, for when they send, you know, send me DMs, and, you know, and so because of all of that, and it's like, I know that I'm providing a service for the community. I'm providing something for the community to listen to. I'm providing a platform for people to talk about it. But I still feel like, is that really enough? Like, I want to be able to do more. I feel like sometimes okay, I'm just doing a podcast. It's not no big deal. But again, I'm not on the other side of it. But then I have to also put myself in everybody's shoes and think about some of the other podcasts that I've listened to where I'm like, I want to hear this next episode. Because yes. One of the ones that I listen to, it's this guy that interviews a lot of actors and stuff. So I'll see an actor on there. I'm like, oh, I really want to listen to that. But with this community, like so many people know each other just through Instagram because they've connected somehow. And it's like I get how people can get excited about like, you know, who's the next guest? And then they see it pop up on Monday morning and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to listen. So I totally get that. But it's just like, I kind of feel like, well, I'm just doing a podcast, you know, and interviewing people. It's not that big of a deal, but I try to put myself on the other side of it.
You're in our ears every week, right? Like and nobody is like casually listening, right? Everybody is like, I started and I binged every episode, you know, it's like, I went on vacation for a couple of weeks. I missed one before it. I came back. I had to listen to 4 episodes last Monday just so I could listen to Adventure Dad Wagon in sequence.
Yeah.
And my God, I felt like you and I went on vacation together because I had you in my ear for 8 hours or something last Monday. You know, it was like we went on a road trip together basically.
Yeah. And I mean, I appreciate that. You know, I'm glad that people enjoy it so much because, you know, I went into it with no expectations and it's just really blown up and I'm just super excited that it's done this well and that more than a couple of people thought it was a good idea and liked it, which is, you know, what I was thinking originally.
Yeah. And so just because I get a lot of eye rolls, a lot of laughs, a lot of teasing, all in good spirits, but my family thinks I'm a little bit insane. What is your family, your friends, your kids, what do they think about this crazy cult that you've signed yourself up for and sort of, unwittingly become a prophet for? as a follow-up, obviously they know you're doing this. Do they listen? And do they ever get to see the feedback? Do they get to see any of the comments that these people send you?
So my daughter has listened to some of the episodes. My dad will usually listen to some episodes. I don't know that they necessarily get it, but they support me, which is good. Like nobody ever goes, oh my gosh, really? You know, I mean, every once in a while I'll get that, but for the most part, everybody's been supportive and I think they get it and they understand it. And I think my son is like, I think he's pretty excited. I mean, he doesn't really express it, but I think he's thankful because like I said, with my other car, I didn't really trust driving it too far. And now we can go places again. And I know he enjoys that because there are some places that he wants to go to that we haven't been to in a long time. And we can actually go now, which is really cool. So, and then as far as the comments and stuff, I will share them with people, you know, be like, hey, look at, you know, this is what somebody said. Nobody really like asks me about it. Like, you know, I mean, I do have people occasionally ask me how the podcast is going, but, you know, it's kind of like when you are owning your car or, you know, you have a Subaru and you're excited about it. You're like, somebody may not ask you about it, but you'll tell them about it anyway. So I do that with the podcast because I'm like, oh my gosh, you won't believe how many downloads there are now. It's like crazy. Like I would have never thought that. And that's the other thing that blows me away is just seeing the numbers just continue to grow because with each new episode, there's always new people that end up listening to it because whoever it is that I have on as a guest, they are going to have people that follow them. That may not know about the podcast yet. So they'll see like, oh, my buddy is on, you know, this podcast. I'm going to go check it out. And then they end up listening to all the other episodes because they realize what it's about. And so every episode, all the other previous episodes get a lot more listens.
Totally.
So this is Thursday that we're recording. And just to give you an example, since I released it Monday morning, there's been 408 new downloads
That's
awesome. For all 15 episodes. And that just totally blows me away. I'm like, that's where I'm like, is this thing really that, do people really enjoy it that much that, you know, people are going to listen to it? So.
Well, but, I mean, if you want to be doing this full time and you're getting, you know, that kind of growth, I feel like, you know, if you could do it full time, would you do it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, if I had the opportunity, I was able to, cause I mean, obviously I have to make a living cause I have bills to pay and everything. If I could do this full time, I would 100%. Like if tomorrow somebody was like, hey, you know what, we're going to, you know, invest in your podcast and, you're going to be able to do this full time, I would just 100%. I would do it right away. Because like I said earlier, if I were able to do it full time, I would be able to give back so much more and I wouldn't have to worry about other things. You know, I could focus 100% on the podcast and because, I mean, I would love to like partner with brands and do giveaways and, you know, do just like anything I can do more, you know, bigger news segments, longer news segments, more news segments, you know, do spinoff episodes, you know, of whatever it may be. I mean, I don't know what that future would look like, but there's just, I feel like there's so much potential with it and I want to.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, you got to take your show on the road.
Yeah.
After you're building basically the most solid, loving network of passionate fans/friends across the country. So you basically can stay, you know, anywhere now, I would assume. And what we need to do is just get you out to some events. You know, I'm obviously peer pressuring you extraordinarily hard to try and get you up to Subaru Flat Fest in Wisconsin this summer.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more times I say that on air, the more guilty you'll feel and have to come and, you know, whatever we can do to make that happen. But, you know, personally, because I get to be the one here asking you questions, I know that's the kind of thing that I'd love to see from the podcast is you getting out there and connecting in person with more of the community. I mean, the online part is just incredible. And especially in COVID, it's been an unbelievable sort of silver lining to the whole situation that people are around and have time and you're connecting. But I'm hoping for your sake that you are finding people to actually get out there, take your rig out onto some trails for some wheeling, you know, and you can find some people sort of local to you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I would love to be able to go out to, you know, Subaru events, different parts of the countries and the country.
And there are lots of countries out there we could send to. I mean, come on, let's not sell ourselves short.
I mean, I would love to be able to just go out and, you know, do interviews in person, be like, hey, I'm going to be passing through there. Let's do this next episode. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, that dream of like, you know, chasing your dream and really following your heart and doing what you want to do and that you're passionate about, because my whole life I've never known what I want to do when I grow up.
And I'm with you, man. I love that.
And so now it's like, now I have this platform that the community loves and, you know, that I'm able to at least do for now, you know, cause I wouldn't ever stop doing it just because I can't. So I don't know. I mean, I really want to be able to do more for everybody, you know, and be able to get out there more and do stuff. And if I were doing it full time, then that would be my focus. You know, I could do whatever I want, go wherever I want and help whoever I want. And I like that it's becoming a resource for people too. I mean, I recorded another episode that's not coming out yet that somebody, this guy said that he bought a Crosstrek for his wife because of the podcast.
Well, see, there you go. You need to be sending that to Subaru of America immediately. I feel like that this is where our sponsorship goes, right? Your tally at sold Subarus is now one.
apparently I'm a salesman too.
There you go. Ralph, one of my favorite questions that you ask on every episode is if you could drive your Subaru anywhere, where would it be? If you could take Pearl somewhere, where would you like to go?
I guess as far as the places that I know of that I've been to is, I would love to take it to back to Arizona and like try to explore as much of Sedona that I can, and some other places that I've been to, and then also Colorado, because I've seen some people hitting some trails out there. And I know there's like the Pacific Northwest, which is really cool too. And I'm not like, you know, trying to say that that's not, but I'm thinking of places that I've been to before that I would love to go back and be like, okay, because like one of my friends that lived in Flagstaff, he had a 96 Toyota Land Cruiser, and he took us out on a lot of trails that I know my cross trek could go on. And so it's like, man, I would love to go explore those again, but me driving and me driving Pearl and going to see those places.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, and Arizona and Colorado, I can already tell you, I know you have people in Arizona and Colorado that are want to go, that like are waiting for you to show up in state and take you out on some trails. So, you know, if nothing else, you're putting together the resource for like the most exciting Subaru related adventure travel company, you know, or something like that ever. If this is a little bit of a on the spot thing, but if you had one word or a couple of words to describe the Subaru community, what do you think you would say?
Just accepting and loving.
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because I like to do the same thing that other people have done for me. So sometimes, you know, I'll share my stories. Hey, welcome so and so to the Subi community, because I'll see somebody that will, you know, they may start following the podcast, or they start following Pearl, and, you know, they like something, and I see that they have like 3 posts and maybe 100 followers or something. And, you know, they may in their bio, they may say, you know, I have big mods coming or something, or new to the community, whatever it may be. And I'm like, I really want to try to get this person out there and in the community. I want to share their, you know, their post or whatever in my stories and welcome them, because I always want new people like that, that I come across, to feel as welcome as the community made me feel welcome.
Well, I mean, I know you're not always dealing with tiny accounts, but I would say, like, you know, a number of even some of these larger accounts that you've talked to, I think probably about 50% of the people you've interviewed so far have been new to me. Just somehow we were in running in different circles, following different people. And so I've personally benefited, you know, greatly from that as well. Right. Anybody who gets on here, I'm automatically following them. Because they've made, you know, you've basically done the research to weed out people that I'm not going to be interested in. If you talk to them, I'm sure I'll be, you know, interested in what they're putting up there. And so, you know, I think a lot of people are probably seeing and feeling that.
Yeah. And I had a message tonight from Mandy, who is Ranger the Roo.
Yep.
And somebody came across her account because of the podcast. And
Yeah.
So he sent her a message and said, hey, I found out about you because of the podcast. You know, I listened to your episode. And so, you know, I've had a lot of people say you're getting the community connected even more, which I think is super cool. Cause like you said, if there's somebody that's been on that you weren't following in the first place and you didn't know about, now it's like, oh, I didn't know that person was out there.
Yep. I think that's really accurate. You're just like more and more connections are being forged.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's cool. Cause if somebody is in, you know, eastern part of the US and they're following somebody that's in the West, you know, on the West Coast, and, you know, they're connected, it's like, now it's like, I feel like I know you a little bit more, even though you're all the way across the country, because I got to hear you on the podcast.
Totally.
So even though it seems like most of the guests are like on the western part of the country, but you know, it's just a matter of connecting with other people too. And so,
well, it's all a matter of time, you know, eventually you'll get through the entire Rugged Roo crew and then you can move on to a couple of other folks.
It's just that wasn't on purpose. It's just the way that they started kind of
I'm
coming into the lineup. No, I know.
They're also like all so, you know, it's a young enough group in terms of not their ages, but how long the group has been around. It's just fun to see them at this inception point where like there's so much momentum and so much enthusiasm. I love that, like, clearly, you know, Dorothy was on, and then every single person that like sent you an email or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's great. I don't, you know, I'm not knocking that at all. I think it just makes me smile when I feel like I'm learning this entire, like, I feel like I have a whole group of friends in Washington.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's funny because like a lot of those people ended up kind of getting in the lineup, and I didn't even know they were part of the Rugged Root crew because I didn't really, you know, make the connection. I wasn't looking at their profile when they first sent me some information like, "Ooh, what are they a part of?" Because, you know, it's like, okay, now it's coming up for me to interview them. So let me do a little bit of research. And I'm like, oh, they're part of the Rugged Root crew too. You know? So.
Well, there you go. I mean, pretty soon you're going to have your fingers in Rugged Roo and Mountain Roo and Soft Roo Nation. And obviously, you know, you're always going to be part of my Starcow Nation group, which, you know, the amazing thing about, like you said, this group being so accepting is that you can play for every single team, you know, and like nobody gives you slack about that. You can just, it's just about trying to do good wherever you can, I think.
Yeah, because I don't want to ever be like, well, you know what, I'm only, you know, because like Soft Road Nation accepted me into the Soft Road Nation family, but I don't want to be like, well, you know what, I can't really talk to the Mountain Roo people because I'm all Soft Road Nation, man, you know, or, you know, Rugged Roo crew, no, I can't really have any dealings with you, or, you know, it's like, there's, I don't want to ever be exclusive to anybody.
Yeah. This is a good group for inclusivity. You know, I can tell you, I tag every one of those people or groups in every one of my photos, right? Like my whole thing is, you know, I'm part of all of this. It's all one community in the end. So.
Yeah. And I'm trying to be better about that too, about tagging more people. So, and you know, it was really cool at first to see more and more followers with, you know, Pearl on Pearl's page and then the podcast page and everything. But like right now, it's not that I don't care, but I'm not really concerned with like how many followers I have. I just want to be able to do the best job I can with the podcast. And of course, still stay engaged, you know, like post pictures and a comment on people's, you know, posts and message people or whatever. Cause that's one of my favorite parts of being in the community is just the connections that you make and the engagement and everything. But I want to always be able to maintain that. Like, I don't want to ever be like too big to, you know, not message somebody or something.
And for personal, you know, reasons, I don't want you to burn out either. You know, I want to make sure you're pacing yourself here. I don't want this to just disappear after 16 weeks of intense podcasting. You're basically creating a flock of dependents now. So,
And I wouldn't want to let anybody down, but I mean, I enjoy doing it. So, you know, I'm not getting burned out. So that's good.
Well, we've been talking for a while here. I wanted to ask sort of one last question.
Okay.
And you know, then I have something I kind of want to send over to you. But the question was that, you know, if you had $1,000 to spend on Pearl, like today, what would that spending spree look like? What would you do? Do you have a preference? I mean, a protocol, you know, that you've lined up here of, I want this, then this, then this, like, you know, what is your, what's your next move?
I think it would have to be wheels and tires just because I have the lift kit already. I mean, you know, the rooftop tent is my like desire, but I mean, I just bought the gazelle tent. So it'd be kind of silly to be like, you know what? I just bought this awesome gazelle tent, but I'm gonna get a rooftop tent. But no, I think wheels and tires would be the next thing to be like, you know what, let's go ahead and do that. Put the lift kit on, put the wheels and tires.
It would be such a big change because of also having the lift kit, you know, to throw on. That's a lot of impact.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right, I'm shooting you a text right now. I want you can keep recording. There's a link here, though, and I'm going to ask that you click on this link and watch a brief video because I've been in contact with a number of your previous guests, and we put together a little thank you video for you here.